I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you does not slumber. He who keeps Israel neither slumbers nor sleeps. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in, from this time on and forevermore.
This is the second Chapel of Spiritual Life Week. And so again, we have Vanessa, Christine, Ron, and Maddie sharing a part of their story. But this time, moving from the questions and the doubts and the fears and the times of storm to what they learned, how they grew from those experiences, how they experienced God in different sorts of ways after those times. So would invite you to listen as we continue this theme, living in the valley, wandering and wandering, but the second half of their stories and where that leads us. In between each of their stories, we'll be using the song that you got as you came in on the yellow card. So we'll be repeating that together each of the times, and invite you to join into those times and spaces. Let's listen for how God is moving and working in each of us and in each of the stories that we hear.
When that storm comes, don't run for cover. When that storm comes, don't run for cover when that storm comes. Don't run for cover. Don't run from the coming storm, 'cause there ain't no use in running when that rain falls. Let it wash away. When that rain falls, let it wash away. When that rain falls, let it wash away. Let it wash away that falling rain, the tears and the trouble. When those lights flash, you hear that thunder roar. When those lights flash, you hear that thunder roar. When those lights flash, you hear that thunder roar. Will you listen to that thunder roar? Let your spirit soar. Stand on up and let it in. You gotta let love through your door when that storm comes.
Storm coming.
Don't run for cover when that storm comes. Don't run for cover when that storm comes.
Storm coming.
Don't run for cover. from the coming storm, 'cause you can't keep a storm from coming. 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 Coming, 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 coming.
Good morning. So my name is Vanessa, and if you guys were here on Wednesday, you heard me talk about I talked about how my brother was diagnosed with cancer at the age of 23, without any prior warning whatsoever. It was definitely the most devastating thing I've ever had to go through to this day. But today I get to talk about the beauty in that story, as horrible as it was. Looking back, I can definitely see God's presence, God's hand on me and my family through that whole time. It maybe wasn't as easy to see while I was walking through it initially, but as I look back, I can totally see, like, oh yeah, that was definitely God's hand, like, that it worked out that way, and that this person was there at this time, and that, you know, down to, like, the doctor he saw, and, like, just different pieces just aligned perfectly, and God's timing, and I could talk about that all day, but we won't go into detail there. But just looking back, it's awesome to see how God really did care, and he was there, and I was kind of in a time where I wasn't trying to necessarily look for his hand in things, because I was not happy with him. But for me, every day felt like a battle for me. I would wake up, and it was like I was starting at place one again, at the starting point again. I had to, like, just reface my reality and just remind myself, like, this isn't a dream, this is real. My brother really is sick, and I really can't do anything, and he really does have a awful prognosis. But it became, questions why this would happen was a daily thing for me. But as time went on, I just realized that, like, yes, this is horrible, but the more I sought God through it and just asked questions, it was just this thing of, like, okay, Vanessa, this comes down to your choice. What are you going to do with this? You obviously can't change the situation, but you can change how you're approaching the situation. Like, are you going to let God form you and transform you through this awful process, or are you just going to get bitter and harden your heart and just become bitter person? And I didn't want to become that bitter person, even though that felt like the easiest thing to do. So every day I woke up and would just ask God to just work with me and walk with me, and it was honestly just an hourly thing. Like, it would be hard. I'm not gonna lie, it was hard, but it was a thing where you keep your head up, you keep walking, and yeah, you fell face planted many times, but you got back up. And it was just a lot of just living, learning, walking, falling, getting back up, and just continually asking God to just mold me how he would want me to be molded during this walk I was walking. It was really hard for me to accept that, like, God had chosen my brother to have cancer, because, and I'm not even saying this just because he's sick, I'm saying this because it's true. Like, he is, like, the most, like, gentle, kind-hearted, patient person I have ever met, and I'm not saying that just because he's my brother. Honestly, I would often be like, God, you should have just given me the cancer. Like, I'm the worst person here. Like, he's so much better. Like, I deserve this. He doesn't. I think that was part of the beauty in it. Like, watching like, I think I learned, yeah, I learned so much from our brother. Like, he honestly took this better than I think anyone could have ever taken it. He, like, I mean, yeah, he was hurt. He cried. I saw him cry, but I never, ever, ever heard him question God, like, why would you do this to me? Or he's never been angry with God. And I'm close enough with my brother that we would, like, sit and just, like, hash out our feelings and stuff, and he would always, like, be so gentle and like, Vanessa, like, this is normal to feel this way, but, like, this is how I feel. And I'm just like, what is wrong with you? Like, come on. And I'm like, I feel like the bad person here, but, like, and he was just so, like, forgiving with me and just, like, worked with me and stuff. And, yeah, there was times where I was just like, okay, you know what, I'm not even going to talk to you because you clearly are on a different page than I am. But I think, I mean, it might have just been the thing where, like, he was able to receive grace better than I was in that time. And, but yeah, he, like, he's talked about this before to big crowds and stuff, and he always ends up with, well, first of all, he jokes through the whole thing. He always makes light of, like, the things that I'm like, this is the worst part ever, and he's like, oh, and then this happened, and I thought it was funny, and I'm like, what are you, come on. But anyway, so he's, I wish he was up here with me, he would be great, but he's not. He always ends his story with, as long as God gets the glory, it was worth it, or it's worth it. And I'm just, like, sitting back there, like, but, you know, it's awesome that his testimony is that, and that's literally what his testimony is. As long as God gets the glory, I'm happy. Like, this isn't my life to, choose, like, I mean, yeah, it's his life, but it's not, he doesn't get to, determine what happens, and he's like, you know what, like, this is only, like, a small part of, like, eternity that I'm going to be with God. So, like, whatever he wants to do with it, whatever he wants to teach people from my life, so be it. And I'm just like, yeah, okay. But he, yeah, that's always been his testimony, and it continues to be his testimony. And that's turned into my testimony a long time after it was his. Yeah, I'm definitely blessed to call him brother. And well, let me just give you guys an update before you guys are like, well, so how is he doing? He is doing super awesome right now. He went through a round of radiation a year ago, and they didn't know if it was even going to do anything. They just kind of did it because they were like, we want to do something for you, but we don't really know what to do because the cancer's rare enough that they don't really have good treatment options or whatever. So anyways, he went through a round of radiation. He did radiation, and he had already had the tumor taken out for what they took out what they could, and then they did the radiation, and he is now doing really well. He does have tumors, but they are going super slow compared to what they should be growing. So we are so thankful for that, and he's doing great. He's healthy. He's gaining weight. He got really, really small, so the fact that he's gaining weight, we're all very happy. But I think the biggest thing I learned through this whole process is that you really make, like, your own outcome. You take what you get. Like, you either make yourself a better person through a hardship, or you make yourself a better person. And I'm not saying it was an easy thing, and honestly, still a work in progress, and there's still days that I'm like, God, like, couldn't you have done something else? Like, couldn't he have been bit by a snake or something, you know? But, you know, God knows better, and yeah, I'm just blessed to be where I am right now, and I can't imagine who I would be without having to go through that. My outcomes from you.
wonder if I was destined to wander. I thought that it was rather ironic that I would be asked to speak about wandering. I think I do more wandering than anybody I know. On Wednesday, I talked about uncles and crying uncle. I come from a rather large extended family, and I have lots of uncles. And when we were young, they would grab us up and swing us up with both hands and pin us up against the ceiling for several seconds. And they would always ask, "Did you go to school today? And did you ask any good questions? Come on, can't you be normal and ask, do you like your teacher and are you making good grades?" No. Did you go to school today and did you ask any good questions? Why does my credit card balance never go down? Why can't I find a job? Why can't I find a husband? Why am I suffering like this? Why am I standing in this hospital? Why can't I whip this addiction? Why do people die from cancers? Why do teenagers commit suicide? Why am I standing beside this grave, and why can't I figure this out? I love Job. Job asked a lot of questions. I wonder if most times I concede wrong. I say uncle after I've had more than enough. I wonder if I should say thy will and not my will and mean it. After all, the good Lord didn't let up on that boy of his. And we're his children too. I wonder if I wander long enough if I'll be able to make logical sense of this. I'll be able to connect the dots or find reason as to why things are the way they are. There must be a reason. Not even Job got an answer. He just got more questions. Ah, but I love Job. Though he slay me, yet I will trust him. One thing that I learned from that breathtaking stomach-in-your-mouth-making trip to the ceiling was that for a couple seconds, my perspective changed and everything that I was familiar with looked really, really different from up there. I wonder if things look really different from up there. The fact is, the more that I wander, the more I realize that I don't know. But he knoweth the way I take. And when he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. My prayer at the beginning of this week was, Lord, help me make you look good. But my prayer at the end of this week is, Lord, help me help somebody see how good you are.
I left Wednesday's chapel with the feeling that it may be Wednesday, but Friday's coming. So just as a way to summarize my sharing on Wednesday, overcoming feelings of inferiority and inadequacy have been a struggle for much of my life. From being teased about being a sissy in elementary school, to feeling inferior to the accomplishments of my high school buddies, to finding myself very inadequate in many situations during our 6 years of serving with Easter Mennonite missions in Peru. Being asked to preach in Spanish just a couple months after our arrival was only the beginning of such experiences. Psalm 121 was a regularly expressed breath prayer for me during those years. Situated nearly 12,000 feet above sea level in the Andean Mountains, early morning devotional times would allow me to look up at the mountains behind our house or at the snow-capped Mount Alzangate in the distance and be reminded of my source of wisdom and strength for each day. Abre mis ojos a los montes. ¿Quién me socorrerá? Mi ayuda eres tú, Señor, creador del cielo y de la tierra. Some days it was a discipline issue at school, and I sought God's wisdom and guidance for knowing how to work with that student, teacher, and parent towards a solution. Every year, it was uncertain as to how we would have enough classroom space or teachers for the first day of school at that next year, and yet God always faithfully provided for our needs. And although I had no formal pastoral or counseling training, yet I was asked to perform baptisms, premarital counseling, as well as marriage counseling for couples who were struggling way beyond what I felt qualified to deal with. During those years, I prayed and read the Bible more than I ever had in my entire life. I experienced God's presence, His peace, and His empowering strength in ways that I had never known. Several verses became especially important for me during those times. 2 Corinthians 12:9, my grace is sufficient for you, my power is made perfect in weakness. Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. When I came to realize that what I was suffering, I was suffering from a mistaken identity. I viewed myself in terms of my self-perceived limitations, the way I thought others perceived me, or the way I perceived myself in comparison to others. Any way that you look at it, it was a very selfish perspective. As the Holy Spirit gently yet persistently worked and continues to work in me in this area, I've been trying to put my focus more on Christ and less on me. Christ in me can be a whole lot more effective than just me in me. So when I was faced with situations in which I felt inadequate, I would remind myself that God would not ask me to do something that He would not also equip me to do. So that became my prayer. God, if you want me to do this or that or anything else, then I'll look to you to work through me. It also required a new identity. In Christ, I am a child of God, free, a co-laborer, a sweet aroma, never alone, wonderfully made, whole in Christ. In the fall of 2009, my family and I were about 9 months away from the end of our second three-year term in Peru when I had a conversation with the lead pastor of the Mennonite Church in Cusco about our decision to return to the States. He asked me about my plans, and as difficult as it was in many ways to leave our Peruvian friends and family at church and school and in our community there, we also felt that our children's education and for some of my other long-term goals, it seemed like this was God's timing for us to make this transition. But really, I had no idea what I would do or where God might open up a job for me or for my wife. I told Pastor Ruben that I would probably go back to school myself, at least to renew my teaching license that had expired while we were out of the country. His response has been something that has stuck with me ever since. He said, "Ron, don't do anything that you can do in your own strength. If you can do it without God's help, then He probably isn't leading you in that direction." For someone who has struggled most of my life with feelings of incompetency, that was not a very comforting thought. But God had been working in my life in many ways during those 6 years, and if nothing else, they served to show me that God is faithful and that He demonstrates His strength in my weaknesses. After every sermon that I preached in Spanish, every challenge that we faced at our school, every opportunity that God allowed us to speak into someone else's life, I could reflect back and see that God took my loaves and fish and multiplied them according to his purposes. Too often I tried to think that each situation was about me, and so I frequently felt overwhelmed by my limitations and inadequacy. But when I chose to put my focus more on God, he supplied what I needed in each moment. So that next summer, we moved to Harrisonburg, knowing little else than where our three children would go to school. In the back of my mind, I thought that someday I would really like to prepare elementary teachers to enter a profession that's been so rewarding for me. I took two classes that fall, in part to renew my teaching license, but also to explore some other potential areas of interest in education. One day I noticed the bulletin board under the postings of job openings at EMU, that EMU was looking for a professor of elementary education. I looked over the qualifications, which all seemed accessible to me except for one. The preferred candidate will have their doctoral degree in a related field. In a conversation with God, I said, "See, this isn't just about me not feeling adequate for this job. The advertisement itself says that I'm not qualified." So I proceeded to put it out of my mind as just a future goal. Near the end of that semester, the position was still open, and someone told me, "Ron, you really ought to at least fill out an application. If they're not finding the candidate they're looking for, you may as well apply and then let them decide whether or not you're qualified for this position." To make a long story a little shorter, I did apply, and here I am in my fourth year of teaching at EMU, and about halfway through my doctoral program at George Mason. I still frequently battle these feelings of inadequacy, but it certainly forces me to rely on God and his ability to show himself strong in me. I recently put a phrase on my office door that serves as a good reminder for me and hopefully anybody else that walks by. It says, "Jesus, like no other." I want everything I do to be more about Christ in me and Christ through me rather than just about me. Jesus in me is more than just good enough.
My name is Maddie List, and on Wednesday I talked about how 4 years ago I started to get headaches every single day, and because of this I had to drop out of school on my doctor's recommendation, and I wasn't able to return for the rest of the year. I had to homeschool, and my pain continued to increase. I ended up experiencing chronic fatigue every single day, as well as constant joint and muscle pain. And so because of this, over the years, I wasn't able to attend school in a normal way. I went through junior and senior year, going to school for 3 hours every day, and barely graduated. And it's been a long, painful journey that I'm still in the middle of right now. In the past 4 years, my pain has just continued to increase, and I've been diagnosed with Lyme disease, but even though I'm on medication, it still continues to be something that I'm fighting against. But through all of this, I've just seen so much joy and growth and blessing in the middle of all of it. I attended a private school for kindergarten through eighth grade, and in my time there, I just felt very accepted and cared for, and this was just a great Christian community to be a part of. And so when I got sick in my sophomore year of high school, these were the people that surrounded me, that cared for me, that comforted my family and just embraced us. It was amazing to see just what community looks like when we're serving one another, and to be part of a community like that. And the people in this community from this school that I had attended 2 years before I started getting sick, they started sending me letters in the mail. They started sending me emails, too many that I couldn't respond to all of them. They would bring our family meals every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. For months at a time, and the meals just kept coming. And they also contributed financially, just because the medical expenses were so great. And it was just amazing to see all of these ways that people were caring for our family, not in ways that I ever would have wanted to ask for help in, but because we were just in a desperate situation of being in pain and not being able to control it at all, we really just saw God working through our community and caring for us and just holding us in the palm of his hand and walking with us and staying with us and being present in our lives. And I've just never felt so loved before. I would walk into the school and see parents of students who still went there, and they just hug me and embrace me and just say, I'm praying for you, and let me know if there's anything that we can do to be caring for your family, which was just unbelievable to have people reaching out so much and so willing to help us out. And because of this hardship and suffering, it was easy to get depressed. But because of these prayers and the encouragement that I was receiving from so many people, it actually became really easy to be joyful in the middle of that, just because I was so encouraged by people sending me Bible verses all the time, and just coming to our house to lay hands on me and to pray for me. And our church was also a big part in just walking with me. Their faithfulness in this journey has just been unbelievable. As I've gone up for healing prayer at our church every other Sunday when they offer it, and I feel like I'm taking up all the healing prayer and no one else can have any of it because I keep going back every time. But they're always happy and willing to spend that time with me and to pray for me. And they've just continued to do that for me, which has been amazing in those times when I feel like, God, I can't ask you again to heal me because it's just too painful and it's been too long. And to have people who are willing to do that for me and willing to ask for me has just been an amazing gift. And I also worked at a summer camp after my sophomore year of high school. And I wasn't sure that I was going to be able to spend the summer there just because of my health, but they just bent over backwards for me and accommodating me and giving me time to take breaks and just helping me out in all the ways that they could so that I could stay at the camp. And I wanted to go back the next year, but I just wasn't sure if I could do it. And the director of the summer camp actually called me and she said, hey, are you thinking of applying? And I said, well, I don't know. And she said, well, I'd really love it if you would. The way that you were able to relate to the campers that we had last year is different than the way that anyone else is able to relate to them, because you've experienced hardship and suffering, and some of these kids have too, and the way that you're able to care for them and the way that you're sensitive to what they're going through is something that we need and that we want, and that we're willing to accommodate you if you're willing to come back and provide that for our campers. And so I've just realized that through those times of doubting that I could ever go back to camp and that people could ever accommodate me again in the ways that I need accommodation, God has just been so faithful, and he's opened the doors for that, and he's put me in the places where he wants me. And these kids who've experienced things like abuse and divorce of their parents and suicide in their families, things that I haven't necessarily experienced, but I've been able to relate to their suffering, even though our sufferings are so diverse. And so that's just been amazing to see God working in the middle of that. So in all of this, in all of these situations where I've had to ask for help, I never would have wanted to. I never wanted to have to ask for help with being encouraged or with providing meals for our family or financial support. But through this, I've just seen God work in miraculous ways of providing for my family. And this has deepened my faith in God's goodness and in his love for me. And even it's even deepened my faith that he can heal me, whether that's on earth or if that's in heaven. But I believe that that will come true one day, and it gives me the strength to press on and to keep living for Christ right here and right now.
I lift my eyes.
I lift up my eyes to the mountains. From where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, maker of heaven and earth. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in, from this time on and forevermore.
May you continue the journey knowing that God goes with you.